It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
And yeah, you know, Paul Rodriguez is supposed to be joining us. He probably will sometime today. Said he'd have breakfast and be here at 11. Huh? But, you know, hey, we did the TV this morning on Channel 26, and I thank him for that. You know, drive all the way up here from Southern California just for that to promote our 100th anniversary. God bless him. Paul, a super guy. Love him to death. The more I get to know him. I've known him for years and years, but just lately I found him to be particularly impressive, you know, for a number of reasons. Okay. There are some wild things in the news today. Now, yesterday, relating to something that Don Lemon did, having that interview with a British royal commentator insisting that the royals need to pay reparations. And she very politely, kindly, with history on her side, ripped him a new one. And he had to back out of that one very quickly because he made a complete fool out of himself with his insistence that the royals have to pay reparations. And then she reminded him, what was the first country to outlaw slavery? Oops. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's swing to something which is called The Woman King. Do you know about The Woman King? It's a movie. It opened up to a very, I think, respectable $19 million debut this past weekend. And it's faced some online fury about how the movie glorifies African slave traders. When I heard that this movie was being done, I thought, glory be, we're finally going to get some real history on slave trading. The Dahomey Kingdom. You know? So in this case, the slave traders were members of the Dahomeys, a highly militarized, powerful Western African state during the 18th and 19th centuries. Fact. The movie is set in 1823. And the hook is based on fact. At this time, this kingdom had an all-female military. And then the movie completely goes sideways, portraying the Dahomeys as anti-slavery liberators. The right hand of God, historical truth, as this kingdom was constantly warring with other Africans and either enslaved their conquered enemies or sold them into slavery. Period. End of statement. That's all they did. The kingdom also engaged in large-scale human sacrifices. To put it very bluntly, the Woman King is a lie. It's a lie in service to box office profits. The problem is people will see this movie and take it as the real deal. Take it, oh, I mean, it's a big Hollywood extract. They wouldn't lie. It's obnoxious, this condescending trend of empowering black women, you know, with slavery and making them look like heroes when they, in fact, you know, were the slavers back then. It's so wrong historically. I mean, if you're going to glorify black women, tell the story of strong black women who empowered their people, who freed their people, who were educators, religious instructors, scientists. Don't talk about the Dahomey Kingdom as, you know, individuals that were anti-slavery liberators. So, I mean, over the weekend, the almost exclusively, due to a lot of leftist noisemaking, this noise on Twitter, and it was amazing, you know, summarizing the backwash this way, The Woman King was written by two white women who glorified people who put their fellow Africans in chains. Good example. The rulers of Dahomey performed magic rituals against other black people. they enslaved by making them walk around the Tree of Forgetfulness. This was supposed to erase their ancestral memories so their spirits would not return back to the Dahomey to seek revenge. Who's in this movie? Viola Davis. I think so much of her until now. She responded to the critics, you know, this week. Boycotting Woman King popped up all over the weekend with people who felt it doesn't address the Dahomey Kingdom's involvement in slavery. We don't see that type of complaint when Christopher Columbus, a movie was released, didn't cover all the cultural genocide. What do you have to say to those who feel that it leaves out part of that history? Well, that doesn't, you tit for tat doesn't work here, my dear. It doesn't work here. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Rodriguez is on his way. The master has beckoned. So, Davis said, first of all, I agree with somebody saying that you're not going to win the argument on Twitter. You know, we entered the story where the kingdom was in flux at a crossroads. They were looking to find some way to keep their civilization and kingdom alive. It wasn't until the late 1800s that they were decimated. Most of the story is fictionalized, and it had to be. Why did it have to be? I asked that question. Why did it have to be? The fact is the Dahomey were slavers, and the movie doesn't portray them as that. Now, why? That's like the biggest fact of the Dahomey Kingdom. So the producer chimes in here, Julius Tennant. We are now what we call edutainment. Edutainment. It's history, but we have to take license. We have to entertain people. Oh, my God. You can't entertain them by telling them the truth? If we had just told a history lesson, which we very well could have, it would have been a documentary. Unfortunately, people wouldn't be in theaters doing the same thing that we saw this weekend. We didn't want to shy away from the truth, but you did. The history is massive, and the truths are that they are there. If people want to learn more, they can investigate more. Great. Don't tell them the truth or anything like that. Uh-uh. You know, I heard ages ago they were going to be doing this movie about the Dahomey Nation, and I was thrilled. Finally, some light thrown on slavery, the way that it should be thrown on slavery, by talking about historical fact. And they had to take license with that to keep it entertaining, to tell you a gigantic lie. You know, starting with, you know, the Variety, the publication, the very ignorant question. You know, has the Variety liar seen Ridley Scott's 1492 Conquest of Paradise? First off, the controversy around that movie was fierce. I remember it well. And everybody was asking those questions. Secondly, if you haven't seen it, the movie's title, Conquest of Paradise, is kind of a giveaway, you know. But as someone who has seen the movie, I always watch historical movies, you know, the fake news addicts at Variety, this movie didn't really flinch away from cultural genocide. But it, too, you know, took great liberties, I guess, for entertainment. So this is what bothers me. I guess Hollywood can produce lies, because lies make money. And as long as you're entertaining, that is the nature of the game. But if you're perpetuating a gigantic lie, you know, in this entertainment, where is the disclaimer that says, oh, by the way, this storyline is completely false? Shouldn't that be included somewhere in the entertainment? We hope you found this to be very entertaining, but by the way, it was complete bull. You know, in many ways, this movie, The Woman King, feels like a big troll, you know, as the woke Gestapo's way of saying, we have created a culture where historical white men will only be identified as slavers and colonialists. But ha ha ha, we're not holding ourselves to that standard. So, you know, in your stupid face, Trump tards. Yeah, that's what they're thinking. You know, nevertheless, you know, boycotting a Hollywood movie for twisting history into something uplifting and entertaining is like, you know, yelling at the sky for being blue. You know, I'm going to say this. Anybody, you, who gets their history from movies deserves to remain ignorant. It's a movie, morons. Try picking up a book, you know, that's founded in history. I'm hoping that the backlash from this will create people running to, you know, online, to the library, whatever, to find out what the Dahomey Kingdom was all about, and this woman king, and their female military, and all of that, and who they preyed upon, and how they preyed upon them, and these gigantic human sacrifices that they were known for. It's been widely done. You know, there were records kept back in 1823. I'm hoping this will just create a massive backlash, and I hope I never see Viola Davis again in a movie. She was one of my all-time favorite actresses. No more justifying a lie for entertainment. This is KMJ. I hope this is entertaining, you know, entertaining. But my God, if I start founding the entertainment on lies, you know, first off, I wouldn't have lasted 35 years here if that was the, you know, if that was the theme of KMJ. My God.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJnow.com.
Just for kicks, I want to read from Google, you know, and Wikipedia about the Dahomey Amazons, as they were called. You know, and not that this is 100% accurate, but it's damn close. The Dahomey Amazons were an all-female military regiment of the Kingdom of Dahomey, which existed from the 1600s until 1904. They are one of few documented female armies in modern history. They were named Amazons by Western Europeans who had countered them due to the story of the female warriors of the Amazon in Greek mythology. The emergence of an all-female military regiment was the result of Dahomey's male population facing high casualties in the increasingly frequent and violent warfare with the neighboring Western African states. This led to Dahomey being one of the leading tribes, if not the leading tribe, in the slave trade with the Oyo Empire, trading with the West, which used slaves for commodity exchange in West Africa until the British Empire brought an end to the slave trade in the region. Little lesson yesterday for Don Lemon at CNN. The lack of men likely led the kings of Dahomey to recruit women into the army. Now, King Huegbadaja, who ruled from 1645 to 1685, was the third king of Dahomey, and is said to originally started the group that would later become the Amazons as a corps of elephant hunters called Gobeto. His daughter, Queen Hangbi, Hangbi, ruling from 1716 to 1718, only 2 years, established a female bodyguard. European merchants recorded their presence. According to tradition, her brother and successor, King Aja, successfully used them in Dahomey's defeat of the neighboring kingdom of Save in 1727. The group of female warriors were referred to as Mino, our mothers, in the Fon language, by the male army of Dahomey. Other sources contest the claim that the king's older sister, Queen Hambi, was the ruler to establish these units, some even going as far as to question whether or not Queen Hambi even existed. But proof has been, you know, determined that she did. So, between 1818 and 1858, Dahomey became increasingly militaristic, placing great importance on the army's budget, you follow me, formalizing its structure from a very ceremonial to a serious military for the point of gathering slaves. Now, while European narratives refer to the women soldiers as Amazon, they called themselves, again, Mino, our mothers. And then it goes into the recruitment of how these women were recruited. In the beginning, it was both men and women, but in the end, it was all females. All females that made up this military, a very vicious military. Some of the women became soldiers voluntarily. Others were involuntarily enrolled if their husbands or fathers complained to the king about their behavior. Membership amongst the Mino, the mothers, was supposed to hone an aggressive character for the traits and the purpose of war. And during their membership, they were not allowed to have children. They were not allowed to be part of married life, even though some were legally married to the king. Many of them were virgins, and it was found if they were virgins, they fought harder. Because what was the reward? Aha! Use your imagination. The regiment had a semi-sacred status, which was intertwined with the Fon belief called Votan. Oral Bohemian tradition holds that upon recruitment, the Amazons, and this is still done in some tribes, were subjected to female genital mutilation. And I'm sure most of you have heard about what they do and what is removed from the female genitalia with one striking blow so they do not enjoy sex after this is done. This still goes on. The Mino trained with intense physical exercise. They learned survival skills, indifference to pain, death, storming, acacia thorn defenses in military exercises, executing prisoners. Discipline was overemphasized. Serving the Mino, women had the opportunity to rise to positions of commanders with influence. And again, this was all structured around the monetary commitment to slavery, the slavery of other black tribes. The Mino were wealthy. They held status. They had political roles. The Mino took roles in the Grand Council, debating the policy of the kingdom from the 1840s to the 1870s. When the opposing party collapsed, the majority of the Amazons generally supported peace with the other tribes, but that didn't last long. It set them at odds with their military colleagues who supported a full-on assault of one particular tribe that was trying to hone in on the slave trade. This tribe was completely eliminated. Commercial relations with England, favoring trade over palm oil, eventually became bigger than the trade with slaves. But England outlawed the slave trade anyway. They were the first to do so. Again, Don Lemon, I'm glad you learned your lesson. So I can go on. I mean, it's a very interesting history. But all of it is based on slave trade. Black tribes enslaving other blacks. And to do a movie that shows them as slavery liberators, I mean, it is exactly the opposite of who and what they were. But remember, this was all justified by Viola Davis, the star and the producer, because it's entertainment.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now. KMJNow.com.
Now, I got a little carried away, Rick, you know, reading the Wikipedia thing about the Dahomey and this movie about the Woman King, Viola Davis, you know, and you already know how I feel about it. It's such a bastardization of history. They want to compare it to, you know, the Columbus movie about, you know, Conquest of Paradise. It was a piece of crap, too. And, you know, had nothing to do with historical accuracy. You know, but according to Hollywood, it's all fine as long as it's entertainment. Now, to entertain you, let's listen to the trailer for this movie. Are you wrong? Get comfy. It's very dramatic. It's a couple of minutes, right? It's a very good, tantalizing trailer. But after I've told you what BS the whole movie is, I mean, it makes it a little disappointing. But, hey, it's entertaining, right? If it's entertaining, man, it's got to be cool. Listen to this.
An evil is coming that threatens our kingdom, our freedom. But we have a weapon. They are not prepared for.
My king, the Europeans wish to conquer us. They will not stop until the whole of Africa is theirs. We must fight back for our people.
Maneska, you are asking me to take them to war. War.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Don't know.
You are called to join the King's Guard. No kingdom in all of Africa shares this privilege. Train hard, fight harder. We fear no one. And we fear no pain. I offer you a choice. Fight or we die.
For war, where you
are. To be a warrior, you must kill your tears.
We are the spear of victory. We are the blade of freedom. We are Dahomey.
Don't know who take my power,
That is powerful. I'm sure that's going to drive a few bodies to the theater. But go, be entertained, and realize it's all BS. Okay? It's a fascinating history, the real history of the Dahomey. You know, when did this all end? One of you have asked, you know, online, and good for you for asking questions. European encroachment into West Africa gained a very fast pace during the latter half of the 20th century, the 19th century. And it was the Dahomey fighting the French forces in the first Franco-Dahomeyan War that basically put an end to them. That's where it began. And in the beginning, the women, very admirably, in hand-to-hand combat, really took out the French. You know, they fired their flintlocks from the hip rather than the shoulder. It gave them much more accuracy in the field because of the way that women are able to sway their hips. They do it a little bit better than men. And it was a remarkable feat that took out the French. The Amazons, you know, they participated in one major battle where thousands of Dahomey, about 90% of them Amazons, charged the French lines. They engaged the defenders in hand-to-hand combat, and the Amazons were decisively crushed. Yeah, the beginning of the end. Hundreds of Dahomey troops were gunned down. This movement of the hips with the guns wasn't all that successful in the first war. The second Franco-Dahomeyan War, special units of the Amazons were assigned specifically to target French officers to take out the brass. And after several battles, the French prevailed in the second French-Dahomeyan War. They put an end to the independent Dahomeyan kingdom. It was over. French soldiers, particularly of the French Foreign Legion, they were impressed by the boldness of the Amazons. And they wrote in their diaries, many of which are apparently still available today, about the incredible courage and the audacity in combat. You know, against a military unit with a decidedly superior weapon, a weaponry, and a longer bayonet, the Amazons could not prevail. During a battle with French soldiers on October the 6th during the Second War, the bulk of the Amazonian troops were just wiped out in a matter of hours in hand-to-hand combat after the French engaged them with a bayonet charge. And again, the only advantage was a bayonet that was about 3 to 6 inches longer than what they were using in the way of their tipped instruments. All of the deaths, practically, in that Second War were because of bayonets. The French only lost 6 soldiers. Dahomey were decimated. Wasn't pretty. Troops were disbanded when the kingdom became a French protectorate. Now, there's oral tradition here, and this is where, you know, it can get a little goofy, stating that some of the surviving Amazons secretly remained in the region, and they still carried on independently assassinating French officers. There are other stories saying the women, you know, pledged their services in protection of the individual that had made peace with the French. This was a king whose name was Behanzin, Behanzin, and they disguised themselves as the wives of this guy in order to guard him. Some of the women had children, some remained single. According to a historian who traced the lives of almost 24 of these Amazons, all of the women displayed some difficulties in adjusting to life as retired warriors, often struggling to find new roles in their community that would give them a sense of pride comparable to their former lives. So a lot of them committed suicide. Many of them became drunks. They displayed a tendency to start fights with their neighbors, their relatives, and kill them. You know, between 1934 and 42, several British travelers in this region recorded encounters with the ex-Amazon, then old women who spun cotton and idly sat around smoking cigars in the courtyards, and an unknown number of these women are said to have trained the members of the Dahomey Amazons after they were disbanded in continuing this assassination of Europeans. These were the offspring, the grandchildren, who were learning the ways, you know? And believe it or not, some of them never saw combat, but one of the last interviews of a Dahomey descendant was in 2019. That wasn't all that long ago. One of these individuals who was still alive. And the last survivor of the Dahomey Amazons was a woman named Nawi. Now, in a 1978 interview in her a village of Quinta, the historian met Nawi, who claimed to have fought the French in 1892. She produced documentation, weapons, showing that she did. She died in November of 1979 and aged well over 100. God almighty. You can see history, when compiled in truth, is just as entertaining. Wouldn't you agree? Everything I've been telling you, has it not been entertaining? As the BS Hollywood would give you, telling you that the Dahomey were the great, you know, saviors of other tribes that were doing the enslaving. I mean, oh my God. Okay, I'm done with this. I just had to get that out there today in this combination of weird stories about over-the-counter sex changes at CVS and other places and the sex change clinic for children in Vanderbilt. This story about this movie, you know, versus, you know, real history. Aren't you glad for this program? I mean, everything that I've done today is to help you, you know, make your way through life. Good luck. This is KMJ.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
And just to give Lou a little grease, you haven't seen anything like it. I went in there the day before yesterday for the first time. If you've been to his old place, do that like about two or three times. That's the new place. And the Amish stuff has its own section that's as big as the old store in its entirety. Unbelievable. Freaking unbelievable. Anyway, and I'm not saying that because I'm his spokesperson. I was just truly blown away. Shall we talk about everybody's favorite governor, Mr. DeSantis? Some of the illegal immigrants who were flown into Martha's Vineyard last week have filed a lawsuit in federal court alleging that they were victims of fraudulent and discriminatory schemes to relocate them. Where? To Martha's Vineyard or where Martha's Vineyard relocated them? There's a leftist lawyer group called Lawyers for Civil Rights claiming in the lawsuit in Beantown that Florida officials designed and executed and premeditated fraudulent and illegal schemes centering on exploiting this vulnerability for the sole purpose of advancing their own personal, financial, and political interests. Now, the lawyers are claiming that the illegal aliens were enticed using perks such as $10 in McDonald's gift certificates. May I tell you the truth? The state of Florida bought a bunch of gift certificates from McDonald's to feed these individuals. Nothing to do with enticement. It had to do with keeping them alive. No human being should be used as a political pawn in the nation's highly polarized debate over immigration, said Ivan Espinoza Madrigal, who's the director of Lawyers for Civil Rights. Lawyers for Civil Rights. Democrats have sought to inflict political damage on DeSantis, who they fear may run for president in the near future. It's a fear. You know, over this incident by suggesting without any evidence that he's engaged in kidnapping and human trafficking. That's the allegation. Now, DeSantis' office responded to the lawsuit in a fiery statement that has also included photographs of the consent forms that the illegal aliens signed before they were flown to, Martha's Vineyard. They also included a link to a local Texas news story that showed more of the consent forms that have been used voluntarily. Quote, it's opportunistic that activists would use illegal aliens for their political theater. So says the governor of Florida. If these activists spent even a fraction of the time and the effort at the border, perhaps some accountability would be brought to the Biden administration's reckless border policies that entice illegal immigrants to make dangerous and often lethal journeys through Central America and putting their lives in the hands of cartels and coyotes? End quote. Fact. How many have died in this process? The transportation of these immigrants to Martha's Vineyard was done on a voluntary basis. The immigrants were homeless, hungry, and abandoned. These activists didn't care about them then. The Florida program gave them a fresh start in a sanctuary state where these individuals opted to take advantage of chartered flights to Massachusetts. It's disappointing. Listen to this. It's disappointing that Martha's Vineyard called in the Massachusetts National Guard to bust them away from the island within 48 hours. So what are they really, pardon me, pissed off about? You know, not being able to stay in Martha's Vineyard? Oh, I betcha. But then they should be suing Massachusetts. Again, these immigrants were homeless, hungry, and abandoned. And these activists at this attorney firm didn't care about them then, only when they could make a penny off of it. You know, DeSantis' office, you know, confirmed last week that the state of Florida was behind the flights, saying that, you know, in a number of statements, let's see, is Paul here? Oh, yeah, he's here. Send somebody down there to go grab him. It's opportune anyway because we have to take a break. Anyway, DeSantis made the point that Martha's Vineyard was a part of their relocation program to get them out of there within 2 days after they got there. They didn't want them in this sanctuary state, and they moved them on using the military to do so. States like Massachusetts, New York, and I'm quoting, and California will better facilitate the care of these individuals who they've invited into their country by incentivizing illegal immigration through the designation of sanctuary states and the support of the Biden administration's open border policies. In this past legislative session in Florida, we've appropriated $12 million to implement a program to facilitate the transport of illegal aliens from states consistent with federal law to sanctuary states. And to this date, all of these sanctuary states have tossed these people right after they showed up from Texas or Florida, New York, Chicago, Massachusetts. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy at its ultimate point. Hour number three coming up. Paul Rodriguez is here. We'll be right back.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.